Morning.
Great.
Morning.
You all for coming out in the rain to practice together. Late great translator, Thomas Cleary, had a favorite Zen saying, which was, first, wake up on your own, then go see someone else. And it was caught my attention when you would bring that up. And it directly contradicted my first teacher, well, maybe second teacher, Zen Tatsu, who one day, Duk-san, quite pointedly told me, it's more like a bicycle race. Nobody's going to get there by themselves. I thought, oh, this is very interesting. Then I realized Professor Cleary, he'd never commented on that saying. For instance, he never commented on whether it's possible to wake up by yourself or whatever that might mean. Maybe if you're going to become a Pratyeka Buddha, a solitary enlightened one, and after enlightenment you go and enter a cave and never interact with other beings again, maybe that's okay. But then you're leaving out the go see someone else part. Periodically, especially in the West, maybe not exclusively, but people will pop up who declare that they have arrived at awakening without bothering with a teacher. And sometimes they'll get quite a crowd around. So I don't know, maybe that's okay if that's helpful. But personally, I like practicing with others. From our collected literature, we know that the part about going to see someone else, that didn't always pass so smoothly. And when a follower of the way went to discuss their enlightenment with someone else, they got thrown out on their ear. Or told, no, return to the hall. So, it's all part of the game. I was breakfasting yesterday with Koshin-san. And I told them I didn't have any idea what to talk about today. And he said, "Well, how about Case Two on the Blue Cliff Recording?" And I had to ask, "Wait, which one is that?" Said, "That's the one about Zhaozhou and no love or hate." So I thought, "Nah, I don't want to talk that." But then yesterday afternoon, my eye fell upon the Blue Cliff Record, and I thought, "Oh, well, maybe." You probably know this story, and you probably know the great Zhaozhou, named after the stone bridge where he taught. Interestingly, he's one of those teachers who did not seem to have resorted to the more should we say bitter teaching methods. He was not known for yelling at people or hitting them or throwing things. So one day he was giving a talk, and he said, "There's this old teaching. Actually, by that time, it wasn't all that old, but it was kind of old. And the teaching that the great way is without difficulty. Just avoid love and hate." And he said, "As soon as words emerge, oh, there's love and hate. There's clarity. This old monk does not abide in clarity. So, do you preserve anything or not?" One of his monastics was in a frame of mind with which I can sympathize, being on retreat, listening to a Dharma talk and feeling like, "Here we go." So he says, "Teacher, you don't abide in clarity, what do you preserve?" Jaja says, "I don't know." Monk pursues him further and says, "You say you don't know. Why say you don't abide in clarity?" Jaja says, instead of swatting him, he says, "It's enough to ask. Now bow and get out." So this is a lovely story, and it presents our lineage in a very stark light. For one thing, that initial quotation you will recognize comes from the Xin Ming. On trusting, people often say mind, but as you know, that character, one of the few that I know, doesn't just mean mind in the way that we use it in the West. It's more like heart-mind. So Sung San, the third Chan ancestor, wrote this great poem, or anyway, people say he did, called On Trusting the Heart-Mind. And he begins by saying, you know, the perfect way is not a problem. Just don't have any preferences. Or that's the translation. That expression is nothing less than an atomically compressed version of the entire Buddha Dharma. Even by Sun Tzu's time, which was, I don't know, 8th century or something, there was a lot of Buddha Dharma in China. And as you know, it arrived in a kind of mishmash of all kinds of stuff. But since it came from the Holy West, it all had to be dealt with, cared for. And yet, probably nobody had time to like read it all. Even the chunk that had been translated was quite a lot. And there seemed to be contradictions. So here comes the third ancestor, says, all that stuff, no problem. Just don't, don't love or hate. I think mostly, I'm quite sure the first time I heard that, I thought, what? Give me a break. I'm a human embodied critter. How am I going to do that? So I think then for quite a while, I thought, well, the answer must be abide in clarity. So I tried that for quite a while. In a training period or session, well, maybe it's not so hard, you know? It's like, here it is, day 5. Second period on Zazen. Whoa. This is really great. I'm just kind of floating along. And then you notice, oh, wait, I like this. Oh, there I go. And then during lunch, you get a vicious cramp in your leg. It's like, oh, I hate this. Wait, oh. So maybe it's not abiding in clarity either. So, what do we preserve? The great Jajo says, I don't know. And monastic says, now wait a minute. And Jajo says, bow and get out. So, to trust truly in the heart mind means to recognize the lure of both love and hate and clarity. The other morning, I was having a very difficult time, I confess. Very, very upset and painful heart mind. So, following Suzuki Roshi's advice, and he said, if you don't go and sit down in the midst of considerable difficulty, you won't appreciate practice. So I went to sit down and I was quickly fascinated that I could not find anything besides the five skandhas. This was a great relief in a way, but there's still this body mind. Eventually, you leave the zendo. But what do you preserve? If Jajo doesn't know, then who does? The great Shui Do, the compiler of the Blue Cliff Record, says in his poem about this story, when consciousness in the skull is dead, is there still any joy? Then he adds, in the dead tree, there is still a dragon singing. My age is not good for my voice. How are we going to trust the heart mind? It's all that Buddha-dharma. And by this time, good Lord, what year is it? 2024? The raft is very heavy. kind of waterlogged. So what do we preserve? Well, I don't know either, but definitely trust the heart mind. And sure, you can practice like a dead tree. It's all right. You can abide in clarity for a bit. But there's still this body mind. No matter how dead the tree, there's a dragon singing. By the way, clarity is it's not that big a deal. You don't necessarily need, a retreat. Everybody at moments during the day or night, there are moments of clarity. We may not notice. They come and go. But they're there. Even clarity is just five skandhas. By the way, what skandha do you think is responsible for picking and choosing, loving and hating? Anybody? Well, come on, that's easy.
I would say at least in part, maybe will, volition, that sort of thing.
And which one is that?
Will. Now you got me.
Number four.
Yeah.
The samskara, skandha. So when Sangtan says, what is he saying? Don't bother with the samskara skanda? Yeah, well, good luck. I think he's saying, there's rupa, vedana, sanya, sanskara, and vijnana, and that's all. Trust that. And make your way in the world. Oh, and while you're at it, sometimes vows are helpful. Such as, vow to save all beings. Why? Because there's a great, an immense stream there. Yes, when we enact and embody and recite our vows, we are in the stream. Some say, yeah, once you get in the stream, by the way, that's stream with an S, kind of sounds like dream. That's okay too, but I'm saying stream. Once you get in the stream, you can't get out, so don't worry. Borrowing from Father Michel Dana, perhaps there is indeed a teleological universe. Tending towards, if you like, Jesus, or perhaps boundless, unimaginable bliss. So great, let's get on board. Let's trust in the body mind. And just go on. Trust the heart mind. If you think you don't know what that is, it's just the samskara skanda going. Maybe that's enough. But during this time of year, we actually sit pretty late these days. David and I are getting on in years. I remember bouncing out of bed at 3:30 in the morning, freezing dark, the Tassajara winter, charging off to the Zendo. That was quite a while ago. So anyway, Zazen's like at 6:30. Kind of scandalous, but anyway. But so the birds are just starting to wake up. Always something to be thankful for. Thank you all very much.
This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hszc.org.